Welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Roberts. How's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you?
Going all right. Going pretty decent. So last week, I always do like to explain why we do miss a week, just so it doesn't feel like we vanished. Well, not that you'd think we vanished off the face of the earth, because we still are active in other places and that. But yeah, if you... you know, see an episode not pop up on your feed either on the Monday or the Tuesday, you might wonder what's up. Maybe I basically just had a little bit of a scheduling conflict and I mucked something up, and yeah, it's really just quite simple. So there we go. So what have you been playing recently? Hello.
Well, it's Next Fest here on Steam. I've been on my PC a lot lately. So Next Fest is demos. I love that they're bringing demos back, because you get all these games that you've never heard of because they have no marketing budget, and you can find some really good gems. So the two that, if you're on PC, there's two I think you should check out. One is called Chains of Freedom. Gameplay style and aesthetics and setup, it is very much a love child of XCOM and Mutant Zero Dawn.
Okay.
So, like, very post-apocalyptic. You have crystals that you can collect. They give you mutation powers. And it's turn-based weapon tactical strategy. The story, it only gets, like, the barest surface level of story in demo, so you don't have to worry about spoiling anything. But basically, as it starts out, you're a soldier in something called the Sovereignty, which has very, very cult-like implications.
It's all right.
Yeah, it has very cult-like implications, at least from the little I got to play, because in the opening intro, there's one guy talking, and one guy mentions the Sovereignty, and then everybody else in the area says, "May his light never dwindle." And that phrase gets repeated a lot. So it gives off culty vibes. But it's a fun play. It's like an hour to finish the demo, so you get a really good sense of the game without, like, spoiling anything.
Yeah.
And it's a demo, so it's free. And the other one here, I always muck up the name, so let me get it real quick. Where is it? I play them and then I uninstall them because I'm neurotic about hard drive space. It's an old one.
I understand that.
Habit.
As somebody who has Call of Duty installed on their console. Yeah, I have to manage files and that. This is on your PC, I'm guessing.
Yeah, this is on PC. I'm going through my game library, and I'm just looking for the game. Come on, where is it?
Are you looking like your download history, I'm guessing?
No, it's my game library. The game stays as part of a demo. Here it is. Into the Dread, Our Darkest Days. And this one's a little harder to describe. It's a zombie survival game. So that part makes sense for most people. You have to collect resources, you know, craft items, that normal stuff. But in terms of, like, gameplay, it's very slow-paced, side-scroller-ish. It's like you go to an area, you pick a building to loot, and then you go to that area, and then it's like, you know, walk to the left or right, depending on how they start you. Search this room. You know, fight a zombie if you have to. It's very minimalist in combat because you don't want to get stuck in a fight. You will die very quick. But it's all about collecting resources and then bugging out as soon as you need to. You don't want to stick around too long in that.
Yeah.
But it's got a good vibe to it. It's a character-driven game, but you don't get to create your characters. You pick a pair. And the pairs are fairly even matched in terms of skills and you know, penalties and not like the pair that most people play. One person is a pacifist, so they do less damage in combat, but they're also a master chef, so you get more benefits from food. And the other person is a survivalist, so you actually get more combat bonuses, but then the penalty is that they can't recover sanity from alcohol, which sanity does play a part in. And then you have to take over a base, and you rebuild the base, and then you have to recover sanity through, like, hanging out in the game room or doing other things and/or, you know, drinking alcohol. Mm-hmm. So the master chef is paired with the person that can't regain sanity from alcohol. And so there's a, like, six or seven pairs, and they all have very, very different balances for skills and whatnot. But that's mostly what I've been playing outside of moving the storyline along for Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Mm-hmm. Nice. For me this week, I've actually played quite a bit of stuff. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, where was I at with it 2 weeks ago? I'd finished Crash Bandicoot 2. This is part of my second of four podcast projects. The first one was the long Last of Us 1. The second podcast project is the one I'm working on now, which is for Crash Bandicoot. And you'll know what the other two are when you'll know what the other two are. I still have to play other games for those as well. But I'm actually on to Crash Team Racing now. So as you remember from before, I tried with the ported PS1 versions of those games on my PS3. And because of various different controller things, I decided to just play the Insane Trilogy. I went through Crash 1, 2, I think I talked about 1 and 2 last time, and I was like near the end of Crash Bandicoot 2 or something. But I'm now, I've gone through the whole of Crash Bandicoot 3 in between this podcast and the last one. I did actually stream like the last hour and a half or so. And again, noticed something, I mentioned it on the stream, for those of you that were there, and I don't know exactly how many people were there, because it kept jumping from 1 to 6 or something of viewers. So when you're streaming via YouTube, I think the same works for Twitch as well, directly from PlayStation, because you just go share broadcast, you click on the thing, you put the title in, and you pretty much press go. And when someone leaves or joins, you see this little pop-up in the bottom right-hand corner that tells you how many viewers have come and gone. I think the chat also comes up there as well, if there is a chat, obviously. And it kept jumping from like 2, 6, 5, 4, 2, 6, 2, whatever, and it just kept jumping up and down. Now, I remember when I was doing, I think the last stream I did, which was for Astrobot, was when I finished the main game, and I was like showing off the bots in the crash site and all that sort of stuff. And that was like another 90-minute stream. And with that one, it kept jumping between 1 and 10. Because it went from 10 and then said 1 or something, and then went back to like 5. So I don't know what's kind of, because I kept thinking, like, is the stream running badly that people need to keep coming in and out? Or I honestly don't know what the reason is for that. As long as people are coming in, that's obviously kind of the whole point. But enjoyed Crash 3. I don't want to say too much about all these games, because that's what the podcast project thing is for. But yeah, it was good to kind of go through those again. I noticed some very distinct differences between the three of them. And Crash 2 is kind of the most curious one to me. I sort of knew what I was getting in for when I did Crash 1 and 3. But 2 is this like very interesting middle game in the Naughty Dog trilogy. So moving on to Crash Team Racing, I have done 2 of the boss fights. The first one being, oh my god, I've forgotten his name. The crazy dog blue thing that you fight. I can't remember the guy's name. And then you have Papu Papu, which is the second one. So same kind of boss characters that you have in the normal games. Yeah, with Crash Team Racing, it's a case of like, you got to get that muscle memory down for the boosting and the drifting and the sliding and all that sort of thing. Because if you don't really get good at that, you won't really win two mini races. There's something kind of annoying I sort of noticed, and I remembered it was kind of there before with Crash Team Racing, is like it feels like there's a sort of generated, not scripted or generated outcome, but like it will take, you can kind of tell sometimes if you are or are not going to win the race based on just how things have gone in the first, let's say, two laps or so. Because there was one of the laps I did on one of the things, I was on like the second lap, and I'll get hit with like five back rockets back to back. And it's like, okay, not winning that one because five people just went past me and zoomed past me as I got hit with a load of rockets. So yeah, I don't know. It was interesting and kind of strange the way that that sort of happens. I feel like they could, I mean, obviously they're not going to patch the game now, but do a little bit of balancing with that. Maybe it was me. Maybe it was like I didn't boost enough in certain bits or didn't get enough pickups, because I did miss a few of the like pickups for objects and stuff. But yeah, I've enjoyed my time with the four of them so far. Of course, I'm gonna go from Crash Team Racing to Crash Bandicoot 4, 'cause I'm going in chronological order. 'Cause sure, I could play 1, 2, 3, 4 and then Team Racing, but I'm gonna go in chronological order. And once I've done Crash Bandicoot 4, because I consider those to be the main five Crash Bandicoot games. I know that there is literally about 15 other games, and Crash Bash as well. But if we're talking canon and like the respected games, it's those five. It's 1, 2, 3, Team Racing, and then Crash Bandicoot 4. So got that going on. And then I know which games I'm going to jump to next and in which order. So I will talk about those as they happen. But yeah, been enjoying those. Those have been good. Decided to do something a bit different with my multiplayer stuff, because I wanted to. There was two games I wanted to try, and I wanted to test something as well. Now, as many of you know, I'm a regular Modern Warfare 2 player. That's the 2022 version of Modern Warfare 2. And one of the problems we've had, I say we, me and all the people I sort of play with, and there's different groups of people and that, is, I mean, there's a lot of problems I could sit here and mention, but the main one I'm getting at is sometimes it takes far too long to find a game. And a point that always gets raised among myself and the people I'm playing with is like, oh, it's because the game is, it is now 3 years old. Well, it'll be 3 years old in November, but you know, 2022 to 2025, so that's that. And I got curious to kind of check out two other games now, one of which I've actually never played before, but I've known it's been out there, which is Last of Us Factions, which you can still access. You can't do it on the PS3 version of Last of Us 1, because when you click on, like, the option is there, when you boot up the main Last of Us game on PS3, it's got The Last of Us, then Left Behind, then Factions. Now, if you click on Factions, it says, hey, you need a multiplayer map to, like, a free DLC multiplayer map that you need. I guess it was an expansion or something at one point to play the game. And you click on OK, and the servers for that version of the game were shut down in, I think it said 2018 or 2019 or something. But if you have the remastered version, so basically the PS4 version of Last of Us 1, you can play, obviously, the main game, Left Behind, and you can still boot up Factions. Now, I went in thinking like, oh, I'll see if I can find a game. I'm just gonna kind of not try like create a class or anything like that. I'm just gonna go in there and just see what's what. Maybe do like a standard team deathmatch, and just kind of see what's going on. I found a full lobby game in about 5 seconds. So. And this is a version of the game that is 11 years old, because it was released in 2014. So that kind of debunks the whole sort of like, oh, the COD games don't work because they're older. Okay, the game of COD that I'm playing is 3 years old, and some people do still play like old multiplayer games that still have their servers up. I remember when when Microsoft's acquisition for Activision fully went through, and they reinstated some of the old, because they were backwards compatible through the 360, some of the old Call of Duty games, they reinstated the servers for those, and people kind of jumped back in. So you can still do things like that. There's no sort of like expiry date or whatever. It just depends how many people are playing their games. But I thought, like, oh, it's quite old. I wonder if I'll get a game. If I don't, then okay, I won't be disappointed. I just want to test it out and try it. But yeah, literally within about 3 to 5 seconds, it was like, found a game, booted it up, map's there, full lobby, bang. And I was like, okay. So that kind of debunks the whole sort of, oh, the COD game is too old sort of thing. And there was people, I didn't get involved in voice chat, but there was a couple of people chatting in voices, doing some like decent tactical talk and things like that. Just to speak on the game itself, because I've never actually tried Factions before. It was quite good. You can tell it's a little bit old. It's a little bit outdated for its for kind of what it is. But it's essentially taking the same gameplay mechanics from Last of Us that you know, and rather than you facing, you know, AI enemies from different groups or whatever point you are in the game, you face real players. And I think I did like a team deathmatch kind of thing. And it's basically just like there's different sections, some of which I recognize. They're like remodeled places from where you've been in the game, which I guess kind of works for most multiplayer games that have a story mode as well. And yeah, just kind of run around, you shoot people, and it's not something I'm going to really play again or put loads of effort into or start, you know, playing competitively, because I think that ship has kind of sailed, which is, of course, what Factions 2 was sort of supposed to do. But it was pretty decent. So yeah, I thought it was the main thing that just surprised me is I found a game so quickly. And the other one I tried, because I wanted to see what was going on with this game as well, is Battlefield 2042. Now I do have it through PS Plus. It was a PS Plus game at a certain point. Redownloaded it, jumped in again, found the full lobbied game within about 5 seconds. So when I'm on there on Call of Duty and it's like, literally sometimes takes 10 to 15 minutes, I'm not exaggerating, to find a game. It's not because it's old. Okay, yeah, Modern Warfare 3 and Black Ops 6 have come out since then. And granted, Battlefield 2042 is only, I think, 1 year older. I think it was 2021, Battlefield 2042. But I played two games that are older, one of which is over a decade older, and found games basically like that. Didn't really experience much lag, none that I really sort of noticed. Didn't really have any problems or anything else like that. So I found that kind of very interesting. What do you think of well, anything I've said just there?
Yeah, I actually did play a bit of Factions back in the day. I actually liked it. I thought it was a good setup
Yeah.
as a way to play in that world without being any of the characters in that world.
Yeah.
It's a shame they're not bringing that over for Last of Us 2, but it is what it is, so.
Yeah, they already explained with there's actually I can't remember if we did talk about it on the podcast, but basically it was explained that if because Naughty Dog's not known to be a live service studio because they've never done that. They've done Crash Bandicoot, Jak and Daxter, Uncharted, and Last of Us. And I know that they had the Factions and they had Uncharted 4 multiplayer, but multiplayer wasn't treated the same back then as it is now as like an actual quote unquote live service. Essentially, if they wanted to do that, and this was Bungie who advised them, by the way, of like, because Bungie apparently came in at one point and was like, yeah, if you want this to succeed, you're going to need to spend like 5 years supporting this game. And of course, at the time, we didn't know at the time because the game hadn't been announced, but they'd be working on Intergalactic and. I think they were essentially given a choice that, you know, if you do this Factions 2, you won't have the development resources to do Intergalactic. So, and we know Naughty Dog to be a first, not first person, sorry, first party narrative driven story studio. That's just the games that they sort of make. So kind of makes sense. It's interesting. I the point that I actually find the most interesting about that whole thing is considering the state that Bungie's in at the moment, which, okay, I don't really follow Bungie that much and I don't follow Destiny at all. Every time I hear Bungie mentioned in the last 2 to 3 years, it's a pretty much a shit show. So, because like Destiny hasn't done well recently, they've got Marathon on the way, which is in a bit of development hell. So for them to kind of go to Naughty Dog and be like, nah, this thing that you're working on is not going to work. It's like, well, what you've done in the last 3 to 5 years hasn't been that great either. So I don't know, maybe Naughty Dog should have got a second opinion from somebody else or something. But there we go. So But yeah, I just thought I'd mention that I played some older multiplayer games and found full lobbies within seconds, which is just very interesting to me. So, yeah, that's pretty much all the stuff I've been playing. Let's get into some housekeeping. We'll see you for that in a second.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
I must read out some news. No, housekeeping is this part. So recently in Entertainment Talk, what we've been doing is, of course, the United cast has continued to slumber on slowly towards the end of the season, which we're all basically waiting for. We did hold the FA Cup, which was last season. We were the current holders of the cup, but that won't be happening again this year. We lost 4-3 on penalties against Fulham. The actual match itself ended 1-1, went all the way to penalties, and we lost on those. So, yeah, we're not in that competition anymore. We do have a Europa League game on Thursday, so we've still got a chance to win something, because we're not really going to do anything else in the league. So that is that for now. But most Man United fans, we're just waiting for the season to end and the transfer window to open, and to see what we do from there. Over on Hear Me Roar, which is a podcast for Yellow Jackets on Paramount Plus, they're up to Season 3, Episode 4, so nearly already halfway through the season, so that's been pretty good so far. That's on Fridays. Episode that surprised me, I stepped into Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which is the newest animated Spider-Man show on Disney Plus. I got curious about it, I checked out episodes 1 and 2 and I did a review for those, and I was quite pleasantly surprised. I will be watching the rest of the season, and I'll be doing a season review when I watch those episodes, so look out for that. Over in the United cast, we did however beat Ipswich, excuse me, by 3-2, so that was an interesting game as well. Also drew 2-2 against Everton. They almost had a penalty in the last minute, but got overturned. So that was that game. Some more Yellow Jackets podcasts. Film reviews recently. I did a Don't Skip review for Captain America Brave New World. So that was good to go and watch as well. Gaming talk from 2 weeks ago. Of course, we talked about Sony's newest State of Play. We talked about the PSN weirdness, which Sony just never, even up till now, they just never explained what happened. I guess we'll just never find out until someone's NDA finishes in about 5 years or something. I don't know. Yeah, weird that it went down for almost 24 hours, no one talked about it, and Sony didn't talk about it, and then they just, that's that. So, and we talked about Wonder Woman as well, which we will be talking about again today in a minute. What else do we have? Did a strong must-see review for The Substance. Again, worth noting, don't look anything up about the film, just watch it, but prepare yourself. Of course, we did have the Oscars on Sunday, and it unfortunately didn't win a lot of things. It did win for, I think it was hair and makeup or something like that. But I think it deserved more because I think it's a very, very, very good film. But again, if you're going to go and watch it, which I recommend that you do because I think it's a phenomenal film, just find it and just press play and brace yourself. That's the advice I can give you. So there's that. That's what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get into some news. All right, so we've got some bittersweet news to... Well, it's actually not... bittersweet's not even the right word, is it? It's just some sad news to bring you all today. So I've been clinging on to this game for dear life because I thought it had a lot of potential. It was announced at the Game Awards, what feels like 15 years ago, but it was about 3 or 4 years ago. That is, of course, the Wonder Woman video game. Now, there was 2 or 3 different instances where I brought it up, and it was like, hey, there's this, like, concept thing that's been put out there, and there was a colour change on the website, and then there was it someone made a statement recently of, like, oh, it's years away, we had to kind of restart development. Well, it turns out the game won't be coming out. Warner Brothers, it says here, is shutting down Monolith Productions, which was the studio that was working on it, cancelling Wonder Woman, according to Bloomberg. Of course, sooner or later, everybody started reporting this, so it became more and more obvious. The studio just celebrated its 30th anniversary last year and created classic titles like Fear, Condemned, and Middle-Earth, Shadow of Mordor. And I think they did both of those games, didn't they? Which had, like, the Nemesis system. Yeah, it's one of them ones where you read it and you think, you should have seen this coming. Because news just got quieter and quieter on it, and because it's Warner Brothers, and because they've had a bad habit in the last, what, 3 to 5 years, something like that, ever since Zaslav took over, which was about 3 to 5 years ago. Maybe you've even been longer than that. And this is not the first, and it probably won't be the last time that we hear that something from Warner Brothers has been cancelled. Of course, infamously, the thing that kind of kicked off this whole reign of cancelling things was the Batgirl film, which was nearly completed and then just thrown in the bin and erased from the face of the earth. Although, we still hope that that's on, just on a computer or on a USB somewhere. I can still, I feel like one day you'll just open like social media or YouTube or something, or just the internet, and like the Batgirl film will just be on there. Like someone will have had it on a USB or something, or on a server somewhere, and they'll just leak it one day. But who knows? Yeah, it's, again, I know it's a case of, okay, we had one teaser trailer at the Game Awards. It's like, oh, cool, they're making a Wonder Woman game, the first of those. And your mind starts to wonder, like, okay, she's got a lot of things she can use. She's got her abilities, she's got a sword, a shield, a whip. She's very good at fighting, she's very fast, which opens up a lot of gameplay possibilities. I mean, the story would have been whatever the story would have been, but in terms of it being a video game, because, of course, we have had two films of Wonder Woman, one which was pretty good, and one which was really not very good at all, to put it lightly. What could a Wonder Woman game look like? And now we won't know what this one looks like. I know that when I brought it up now and again, it's like, oh, someone changed the colour on the website thing, but then why would they do that? And why, if the game was not going forward, why would they bother or whatever? But this is Warner Brothers we're talking about, and they also had, I can't remember quite the exact name, they've also had things like, was it Coyote versus Alchemy or something? Like, it was like a finished Looney Tunes film they had, and...
Yeah, they just, Coyote, like, versus Alchemy, I think.
That's it, yeah, and that was even more finished, I think, than what Batgirl was. I think Batgirl had been shot or something, I can't quite remember, but the Acolyte versus Acme thing, or whatever it was called, Coyote versus Acme film, or whatever it was, the Looney Tunes one. You've had things like that that have, like, they were actually finished, and it was a case of Warner Brothers I think initially wanted to like sell it to somebody else, and then nobody came in or something, and then they just threw it in the incinerator. So it's a bad habit for them to have, and this whole tax write-off thing is, it kind of also just like now when we get an announcement from Warner Brothers, and not even just DC specific, obviously Looney Tunes isn't DC either. If Warner Brothers announces something, you've always kind of got it in the back of your mind that like they could at any point just incinerate this thing, not throw in the bin, because throwing something in the bin isn't necessarily permanent, but if you erase it like you did with the Batgirl film, in a more permanent sense, it just and we had what was it the other day with like multiverses, that's now just like gone all of a sudden as well. And there's been many other examples as well of Warner Brothers just kind of getting rid of things. So it's disappointing. It's again, I know we never got like a full proper trailer or any gameplay snippets or really any screenshots. I know that there was some concept art kind of floating around which looked pretty decent. But it's just as a gamer, you hear about like, oh, this character who's really cool has got a video game coming out, and you start, I don't know about everybody else, I start thinking of mechanics and like, okay, what could that look like? It was a bit like when Hogwarts Legacy got announced. It was like, cool, something to break away from Harry Potter's story, but something still set in Hogwarts, still in that world, but a fresh, completely new approach. And you start thinking, okay, the wand, the spells, the combat, the broomstick flying, and the exploration. And you start thinking of what a game could be like. At least that's the sort of thing I like to do. So, I'm gonna read out some numbers in a minute, actually, between the Trinity, which for those of you who don't know is Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and the number of different projects they've had between them in different categories. But before we do that, Robert, what do you think of Warner Brothers being Warner Brothers again?
Well, the studio shutting down is no real surprise, and that's not so much Warner Brothers as it is the industry. They've been shedding jobs like
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
diuretic season. The only silver lining that we could possibly get out of this is that some developer buys the rights to the Nemesis system because they had that trademarked, and then they start making
Yeah.
games using it. Like, imagine a post-apocalyptic survival game. Not necessarily like zombies or monsters, just average humans being assholes
Yeah.
with that Nemesis system to where, you go raid a supply depot and you accidentally, well, unintentionally, intentionally, chuck a Molotov and catch the leader on fire. And now he's scared of fire, but he hates you twice as much, which is what the Nemesis system basically was. That had a lot of potential to do a lot of really cool things, and they just sat on it. So hopefully it'll get out in the wild. But outside of that, they mishandled everything. They spent $100 million rebooting that Wonder Woman game twice. I am not shocked that they shut down all those studios.
Yeah.
I am shocked.
I was a bit louder than what I was expecting. Cool. I saw some conversation again this week of like, okay, Suicide Squad bombed. What does that mean for Rocksteady? Look, no studio is immune from being shut down. And as bad as this kind of sounds, it's like the studio is just the name of what the thing is. If you, let's say, let a bunch of staff go or something from a studio and then hire some new people, which is kind of what I understand happened to Rocksteady. Like the same people that made the Arkham games are not there anymore. It doesn't really make it the same studio. But to be honest with Rocksteady, because we've known for so long, pretty much since like what the first season of content of Suicide Squad dropped, we've all kind of had a sense of how badly that game has done. I think now it's hard to predict what Warner Brothers are going to do, right? Because sometimes you think surely you won't do that, and then they do something, and then you think, oh, surely you will or won't do this, and they do or don't do it in a whatever way you don't expect or whatever. I just would have thought with Rocksteady, that if we were going to hear about, like, hey, Suicide Squad bombed so badly they got to shut down Rocksteady, I feel like we would have already heard about that. That's not me saying, hey, Rocksteady's safe. I have no idea if Rocksteady's safe. And given that you've just done this with Monolith, who made some... granted, I didn't really kind of click with the Shadow games, but I know a lot of people like them. And when you're playing probably those games, you'd think like, hey, this studio's never going to get shut down. And we probably would have all thought the same things when we were playing the Batman games. Like, these games are amazing. This studio surely won't go anywhere. You just never know. Who knows? In a month, we could be sitting there talking about, hey, they've shut down Rocksteady as well. I think with NetherRealm and Rocksteady, though, because NetherRealm's obviously does Injustice and does the Mortal Kombat games, I feel like those are safer than... that. But then, okay, let's say hypothetically, let's say we're sitting here in a month and we go, hey, Rocksteady shut down, or NetherRealm shut down. That would kind of just be like the end of Warner Brothers games, because you don't really have anything else after that. Because that would mean, okay, nobody else is making a Batman game for you, Wonder Woman game's gone. That would mean that you're not making any Mortal Kombat games, because that would be NetherRealm gone. That would be no more Injustice games, because that's also NetherRealm gone. You still have Warner Brothers Montreal sticking around. Those are the people who did Gotham Knights and Batman Arkham Origins. But I don't know. That would kind of feel like Warner Brothers exiting the gaming space almost. So, again, to me personally, Rocksteady and NetherRealm feel safer, but not safe. Just keep in mind the words I've used there. So, yeah, I guess what do you think of the safety of NetherRealm and Rocksteady?
Just depends on what else they got in the pipeline that doesn't involve those IPs, because those IPs are not guaranteed anymore in terms of, oh, this will sell.
Yeah. I think in order to put any kind of safety net over all this, I think you've got to get Rocksteady you've got to get somebody to make a really good Batman game again, because that's just the safety net for this whole thing. And I don't think, given the changes I heard about as well at Rocksteady, which is like a bunch of people have left, if they go, let's say that at the next gaming whatever thingy-majiggy, let's say Summer Games Fest for a hypothetical example, if they go, hey, Rocksteady's making a Batman game, that doesn't mean the same thing that it used to. So we got to kind of keep that in mind as well. But yeah, on the Nemesis system thing... yeah, either somebody's got to pay a lot of money and get that away from Warner Brothers, or they can actually do something with it. So, again, for most of their characters, like, hey, you know, all the thugs in Gotham City, or you could have used it, obviously, for the Wonder Woman game as well.
Or just like a city crime game.
Yeah.
You know, you're a wannabe gangster in an up-and-coming crime city.
Yeah,
it would work perfectly like there.
That. Yeah, yeah, so... But yeah, I think again, this might not be what Warner Brothers does. I'm not sitting here telling you what Warner Brothers will do, because I don't know, who knows what they're going to do next. I think if you go, right, Rocksteady's making a Batman game, it's going to have the Nemesis system. I think that's the next safe thing for anybody to do. Who works on that game? I guess Rocksteady it would be, but again, it's not the same studio that we knew from before. We got to remember as well, the last time we actually did get a proper Batman Arkham game was 10 years ago. So, times have changed. People have moved on from that studio. They've got new people working there. I know there was the VR game and that sort of thing, but it's not quite the same thing. So, we'll have to see. But, Wonder Woman, it was nice knowing you while you were hanging around or whatever. So, let me bring up this numbers picture I have. So, because there was a bit of conversation going around that, like, okay, from two sides of things, and this isn't me going, oh, this is James Gunn's fault or whatever, because it's not. It's a wider Warner Brothers issue. For the DCU at the moment, so for animated stuff, for games, for TV, there's nothing in the pipeline, nothing announced for Wonder Woman. I know that there's the prequel thing announced, but that's going to be, I believe, before Diana was born. I think it's going to be more about, like, the politics of... oh, what's the bloody place called that they?
The Mascara.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be more about that and be set before Diana is even born. So keep that in mind. So it's got films: Superman 8, And I think this is all solo stuff. So if you like point out, oh, Justice League or Snyder Cut or animated Justice League stuff, I think this is just for solo projects. I don't think BVS counts for this either, even though all three of them appeared in that. I think this is just for solo films. So films, Superman 8, Batman 10, Wonder Woman 2. So those would be the two. So 2017 Wonder Woman and then 84. Animated film, Superman 13, Batman 35, Wonder Woman 2. Shows, Superman 6, Batman 2, and Wonder Woman 1. Animated shows, Superman 2, Batman 8, Wonder Woman 0. And video games, Superman 6, Batman 25, and Wonder Woman 1. So basically, films for her, so for Wonder Woman, films 2, animated films 2, shows 1, so that would be the Patty Jenkins film, sorry, show, animated shows none, video games 1. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 solo things for Wonder Woman. I know she's obviously had a bunch of comic books, but this is like more adapted media, I guess. Obviously, we know Batman to be the most like safe, marketable character here. That's why he's got 10 films, 35 animated films is a lot. Two shows. What would the two shows be? The animated, the first thing with
Adam West.
Adam West, yeah, that one. And then, cause, yeah, it says animated shows 8, so that wouldn't be the
Animated series.
yeah, what would the second, so live action shows is two of them. Are they counting Gotham for this? Because Bruce Wayne is in the show. He's just not necessarily Batman. I don't know. So
If that's the case, then they'd have to call the Arrowverse Crisis crossover, because he was in one of those episodes. Well, the voice of the animated Batman guy, Kevin Conroy, played Bruce Wayne in an episode.
yeah, I get what you mean, but I think this is because that show wasn't called Batman or something related to him, because that was in the Bat, was that in the Batwoman episode? That was in one of, I get what you mean. It was in one of the crossover episodes, so that don't technically sort of count. But I'm gonna guess that's Gotham, and in the first ever show that we had, the two live action ones.
It'd probably be Gotham, yeah.
Yeah, because young Bruce Wayne is in it. Plus, Batman does show up like right at the very, very, very end. So, you know, I guess that counts. Yeah, what do you think of these numbers here between the three characters?
It's what it is. I mean, Batman's always been the most popular character. He's always been able to get the numbers and the money and whatnot.
Yeah.
Superman's right up there with him, although he's a little bit more boring in terms of, very pedestrian, very do the right thing, not necessarily, as cool in terms of, like, the reason why a lot of people like Batman and characters like that is because they have flaws they have to overcome. And in terms of Batman, it's,
Well, he's human, so yeah.
yeah, the physical limitation, the no superpowers, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas with Superman and Wonder Woman, they have to intentionally power them down just to
Yeah.
make them
Or have villains that
slightly
are as
vulnerable
powerful or whatever.
to the
So,
bad guys.
yeah. So, but no, judging from those numbers, it's time we had some more Wonder Woman stuff, I guess. And the I think it was, I've clicked it off now. I think there was a one on the Wonder Woman games. I don't know what that was from. It was probably from some old game from before. Again, she was in like the oh, what was it called? The DC Superhero Girls show. It was basically a bunch of the female DC characters, and it had like high school teenage versions of them. It was actually quite a good game. So I remember playing that on my Switch, but again, that's not a solo outing for her. So yeah, until we could, because we are now at a point again, unless you're reading monthly comic books for Wonder Woman, she's got nothing announced for the DCU. We obviously have no, well, we have no casting news on Batman in the DCU. Obviously we know about Superman. Don't know who's playing her in the DCU. We don't know who's playing Batman either, granted, and he's got a film announced. No games in development, no shows in development. It's currently zero, because at least with Batman, we know in about 15 years we'll get the Batman 2 once they sort out the script. I still can't believe the script's not finished for that film. That's kind of outrageous. We know obviously Superman's coming back in, what is it, July with David Cornswett's version. But Wonder Woman, there's currently no one playing her, voicing her, acting as her, or doing anything. So I find that a little bit odd, actually. So there we go. All right, let's move on from that and talk about following on kind of from what we were talking about 2 weeks ago, which was Forza coming to PlayStation. You can go and buy whichever one of them it was on the PlayStation store, because we had an email about that as well, about how weird that kind of looked. And as I mentioned on the podcast at the time, the kind of main trinity, if you will, for to me at least, for Xbox is Halo, is still number one with Master Chief. And then you got Gears of War and Forza. Well, slowly but surely, it looks like maybe all of these games from all three series are going to end up on PlayStation, because the rumours kept growing and growing and getting bigger and bigger. And there was reports today of a PlayStation 5 dev kit being used for something to do with Gears of War. And Push Square's posted, again, this is kind of sort of rumour mill, but I'm not going to officially put it in rumour mill because it feels very, very likely. A Gears of War collection we've revealed for PlayStation 5 this summer. That could indeed be in a Summer Game Fest or something of that equivalent. I'm not going to repeat every single thing I said from last time about like the competition between Xbox and PlayStation, because I already kind of made my point clear with that, but again, it's another one that pushes the needle forward. Because at first, it was the three games, which, if I remember, was Grounded, Sea of Thieves, and was it Abandoned or what? Not Abandoned.
Pentiment.
Pentiment, yeah. I was thinking of the game with the little people, but that was what Grounded was called. It was initially those, and then we heard about Indiana Jones. There was rumours of Starfield. We'll see what happens with those. And Phil Spencer at the time kind of said, yeah, it's these three games at the moment, and we'll see what comes to other platforms later. Again, this isn't a... I know I'm kind of talking about this with a negative kind of tone. This isn't an inherently awful thing. It means that more people get to play Gears of War. But I still just don't get it from a sort of competitive standpoint. Again, I know they put out this funny trailer thing of like, this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox. So they don't kind of see Xbox as just... I mean, they haven't for a long, long, long time, if we're being honest. They haven't seen Xbox as the only place to play their games. Of course, they started putting games on PC, slowly but surely. I just still in the back of my mind kind of had, like, okay, I think as soon as we get one game from the three series, so Gears, Halo, Forza, announced for PlayStation... Again, I don't think it's a case of Xbox loses its, like, branding or identity, but it definitely does lose some competitiveness towards it. So, and yeah, I saw some comments today, people saying, like, hey, it'd be cool to go and get, like, the trophies, maybe get the platinum for Gears of War. People talked already about, like, the haptic feedback, like, what would it feel like using the chainsaw kills with Marcus on the PS5. That would be pretty cool, I suppose, as well. So, yeah, there we go. It looks like Gears of War. Again, the collection, I don't know if that's for the... How many do we have? Five games and Judgment, so six at the moment. Don't know if it'll be for all of them or just the original trilogy or whatever. We'll have to wait and see. But what do you think of Gears of War? Like, let's use the word likely ending up on PS5.
Well, this is one of those things to where you have to alter your thinking, because mm-hmm. the way I've had it explained to me and the way that it makes the most sense is that COVID put the death knell in the concept of a console war, in the sense that, you know, we were all stuck at home, mm-hmm. we all bought all this stuff. And you're not going to move anybody off the platform that they've invested hundreds of millions of dollars collectively on the console. Also hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of digital sales, because, you know, we couldn't go outside, so we had to buy digitally. Mm-hmm. And they actually interviewed Phil Spencer about that. And he says, yeah, we're not going to get them to come to us, so we're going to have to go to them. meaning they're going to have to sell their games on the platform, because you're not getting somebody who's never owned an Xbox, who has a PS5, who's been buying games. Who's been buying games digitally, for, 5, 10, 15, whatever years, they're not going to buy an Xbox unless something so radically insane pisses them off that they just nope out of there. It's like we had that story a few months back about the trophy hunter guy who had like max skills and then has his account, entire account shut down.
Yeah,
and he never got it back. He might go to, Xbox. More than likely, he's going to go to PC. But here's another way to think of it. Pepsi as a brand had zero market share in America. It was like so far down the list, Coke was just completely kicking their ass. And so Pepsi as a corporation bought Kentucky Fried Chicken. They bought Pizza Hut. They bought Taco Bell. They bought A&W restaurants. They bought Long John Silver's for the sole purpose of forcing those chain restaurants to serve Pepsi and not Coke.
Huh.
They didn't give a crap about the food. They didn't give a crap about the service. They cared nothing about the profitability of those chain restaurants. They literally wanted to, for lack of a better word, waterboard America with Pepsi products just for market share. And that's what happened. And that's what's going on, not in that kind of an extreme case with video games, but it's like I did say before, I've said several times, console wars dead, Nintendo won. Microsoft is like, we're selling on PC, we're selling on Xbox. There's no reason for us not to sell on PlayStation.
Nope. All right.
Sorry, I'm just having coughing fits.
Oh, damn.
I'm trying to mute it as best I can.
That's fine.
So yeah, and on some level, I don't doubt that they're testing, their games on PS5 dev kits. That's what companies like that do. You test on everything. Some computer component manufacturer comes out with a new part before it hits the market. Microsoft and all the other companies that build PCs get early versions of that hardware and they test the shit out of it. And that's what happens, and that's probably what's happening now. I would give a percentage that they have a dev kit that they're working games on at 85%, just to see how it would run, how much resources and effort they would have to put into it to make it run well on that platform and things like that. And then past that, if it ever makes it out or not, we'll just have to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We shall see. Moving on from that, we have something very big to talk about in terms of, this podcast as well. Episodes that I do that aren't solo episodes. So Microsoft/Skype put out an update. And to me, this kind of came out of nowhere, but I don't really have my eyes on this space necessarily. So starting in May 2025, Skype will no longer be available. Over the coming days, you can sign into Microsoft Teams free with your Skype account to stay connected with all your chats and contacts. Thanks for being a part of Skype. Which is what we are using right now to do this podcast, and what I've been using for, 9 years in April at least, to do Entertainment Talks podcasts. Of course, when I record on my own, I don't need Skype because, talking on my own. I'm sure it won't be like a major headache for us to figure out what we're going to do. Of course, when I record with David, when we do Geek Town and other stuff, me and him at least have been using Zoom for a while. So that's kind of obviously the one that people have jumped to. There's a bunch of other ones that people can use and, things like that, in terms of video services. I knew Teams was kind of a thing, but I don't really know much kind of about
that. It's more
that.
On the enterprise level.
Yeah, I've heard it's
I
more
use Teams
business-y.
For my job, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Zoom is kind of the obvious kind of front runner answer, but any other suggestions as to which service we could move to?
I mean, there's always Discord.
Do you not have Zoom?
I install it when I need, when David invites me on the show, and then I uninstall it.
Okay.
Just because for my job, it's constantly getting banned off the network for security issues. And so I just don't have it on there as a matter of course. Plus, I don't use it all that often. I literally only turn on Skype when we record, and I never launch it any other time past that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Well, I'm sure we'll be able to figure out which program to use. But yeah, it just feels weird that that's a thing that's happening. Again, I don't know if I've not kept my eyes on, like, you know, Microsoft Team News or Skype News or anything, but I'm guessing they're just phasing that out because Teams has kind of taken over, and obviously Zoom has taken over as well. Just a point of kind of, I guess, review and opinion or whatever. I don't think Zoom's terrible, but from a fundamental basic point of, okay, when I boot up Skype, let's say, and it's to either call you or David or answer the call from you or David or whatever, it is as simple as just, I mean, from my system, it boots up automatically, is I just click on you or whoever, say hi, wait for you to respond so I know that they're actually there. I press call and then you answer and then that's it. And then obviously once we finish talking, you just press hang up, you close it, and that's it. Now, I know Zoom is kind of more meeting sort of group business focus as opposed to whatever Skype was doing. Even though you can still do group calls in Skype, you just add people. You just click on one person, then you click on add contacts, and you do that, and you have it almost like a phone book style thing. I've never really cut it. Maybe there is a reason, and I just don't get it or whatever. This thing with Zoom where you have to, like, put in a room code and then put in, like, a room password. It's like, I'm not calling, you know, the Prime Minister or something, or the President. Like, if I was calling someone of, like, really high security or something, or someone, like, let's say worldly important, so, like, a leader of something, or an MP or something, so someone who needs to, like, really button down the security, I would get it if I had to have, like, certain codes and stuff, because with Skype you just, okay, you ask the person what their email is or their name is, and it's almost like the same thing of Twitter and or Facebook or whatever, where you just search for the person, you click follow or you click add, and then that's pretty much it. But yeah, with Zoom it's like, okay, set up a meeting, invite the person, send them an email and all this sort of stuff, and I can do it. It's not like a problem, but for those that have kind of said, like, oh, Zoom is, like, so, so much better for Skype, and granted, I've not used Zoom in, like, a big business way with lots with like, a big group of people, I think Skype is better, because it's just easier to call people and to call groups. It's as simple as just you add people, and then you click on them and call them and or message them, and you can still video chat and things. So, what do you think of, I guess, Skype and Zoom compared to each other, or compared to other things?
Yeah, I mean, Skype, obviously, I prefer it more, but it's also super old. Skype launched in 2003. Microsoft bought them in 2011. Mm. So we're talking 22-year-old tech. And between the fact that Microsoft owns Teams and Microsoft owns Zooms, of course they're going to push people to those platforms because that's one less service that they have to support. You know, past that, yeah, it's just an annoyance, but it is what it is. Mm. And as for the code thing, doesn't matter if the codes are not, if the people using it are stupid. I vividly remember about 6 years ago, there was a Teams thing going on for a murder trial, and they couldn't get people in physically for the trial, so they brought him in through Teams. And they left the room code up, and random people just started jumping into a murder trial deposition and started trolling people.
Yeah, that would happen,
And
yeah.
that's equal parts horrifying and hilarious.
Yeah, you gotta close that one down and open a new one. But there we go. I do remember, I want to mention as well, I remember one really cool thing about, this is going back a bit. I remember when they first showed off the Xbox One, and that went the way it went, whatever, we don't need to go over old history. But one, let's say, camera mechanic I thought was actually really quite cool. Not only could you say, hey, Xbox, call such and such or whatever, and you could talk to them while you played games and or watch TV or whatever, because you had the snap feature. But the way that, because usually traditionally you'd have, okay, you've got your laptop open, you have your camera awkwardly sitting on the top of the thing, and it's like, hey, it's too close, it's too far, it's too high up, it's too high down, it's too much to the left, to the right, whatever. And with the Kinect 2, which is over, obviously over a decade old now, it would automatically follow you and zoom in or out when appropriate. And I don't think any other camera has really done something like that in terms of you have it in, let's say, your bedroom or the front room or whatever, and you could literally just like crouch in the corner of the room and it would just zoom in and follow you really nicely, and it would do it pretty seamlessly. I thought that was quite incredible at the time, and I still do think it's incredible, because I don't know any other cameras that do that for video calls and things. So if it's like, so if you're in, obviously, I've said before, I work at a school, I clean at a school. If it's a case of like, hey, we have this big classroom and we want to show off some stuff, and hey, I need to move from one side of the room to the other, you don't need to bugger about with moving the camera and like, hey, can you see me? Is it too zoomed in, too zoomed out, whatever, and you mess about with all that. It would just follow you across the room. So if you were doing like a presentation, let's say in a classroom, and like, hey, I want to show this on this board, and then on the other side of the room, I want to show this thing on this board or whatever, it will just follow you and zoom appropriately. So,
There are cameras that do that, but they're the external cameras that are mounted on a 360 gimbal. They're not like super expensive, but they're still like $200, $300. So they're not like super cheap either. But with laptops, there's no, trust me, as someone who takes apart and repairs laptops as part of his job, there is zero, zero empty space in those laptops. None. And so they couldn't make a motor small enough to reposition that camera at all. There is not. You got a better chance of getting a mouse fart in that empty space than you do a motor to reposition that. I am not being hyperbolic. They are that hard up for empty space in laptops.
But yeah, bit of an end of an era. Of course, we'll continue using this until it goes away in about 2 months, and then we will, I guess we'll choose a program together or something. Because when I'm going to do podcasts with David, I'll probably do that with Zoom. And then if you want to use something else or whatever, we will figure that out at the time. But yeah, it's just a weird thing to read about. So, speaking of other weird things to read about, if I can find the correct screenshot, there we go. So I don't have the old thing in front of me, but we brought up Marvel Rivals a few weeks ago. And there was a statement from somebody, I think from the director of one of the development teams, because there's two different development teams on there, and the entirety of one of them was let go, and they hadn't really quite given like a reason or whatever yet, and they were like, hey, the game launched really well, and we were told we were just all laid off. And of course, with layoffs at the moment with the industry, it's a case of, okay, where did it go wrong money-wise? Is it because Marvel Rivals is underperforming, etc., etc.? Well, that can't really be the case given all the information I've got in front of me, because it says here Marvel Rivals passes 40 million players as NetEase reports 2.9 billion in net revenue. So, I would understand it if I'd read Marvel Rivals lost 40 million players or lost 10 million players or something, and failed to reach its. I mean, I don't know what the internal targets of the team would be, because I don't have that information. But when you're telling me that a new game, because it's what, a month old or something at this point, has passed 40 million players and net revenue of 2.9 billion, that's not too shabby. That's not too shabby at all. So I just found that very interesting to read, following from like. Because you would kind of try to put two and two together fairly, in the sense of, okay, Marvel Rivals launched, and then you hear that one of the parts of the development team, has been completely laid off, and you would think, okay, maybe the game's not launched well, maybe it's not selling well, or sorry, not selling well, but not doing well financially, which would be a understandably legitimate reason to lay people off. If it's like, okay, your game hasn't launched well, he's not bringing in enough not bringing in enough revenue, and we'd then need to lay you off because the thing that you've made is not making us revenue and we can't afford to pay you to keep you on. It's how that kind of thing works. But yeah, doesn't seem like it from these two numbers I've got in front of me. I mean, I don't have, like, you know, the active Steam charts and things like that in front of me, but 40 million players with 2.9 billion in net revenue. That doesn't sound like layoff numbers to me. Again, I remember with, like, if we switch gears a little bit, what game was it? I think it was with the second Star Wars game, the, you know, the Cal Kestis games, the second one. And it was either that game or something else. And they said, like, oh, it's failed to meet, like, sales expectations. And the sales were, like, a million or something at the time. This is going back a little bit, so I don't remember every detail of that. And I think I kind of remember saying at the time, like, okay, those numbers sound pretty good, but apparently this company doesn't, so what the hell were your, you know, projection numbers? Maybe they were just way too high. So yeah, but yeah, Marvel Rivals is still ongoing. They are still making, adding new characters, although they launched with a bunch of people. I remember when I booted the game up in the first couple of weeks, and there was like 30 characters already available. And I just kind of had a rough little dip into it at the start. Any thoughts on these numbers for Marvel Rivals, given the news we talked about before?
If I had to guess, my thought would be redundancy, in that they needed two teams to get them to the start line. But after the start line, they only needed the one team.
It's possible, yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't have another project they could move one of the two teams off onto. And that's not for me saying that's right, but, you know, thinking about it outside the sphere, that's what makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, let's say we needed 20 people to get this thing going. We only need 10 people to keep it going. There's no reason to have those other 10 people unless there's something else that those other 10 people can do.
Marvel Rivals 2, yeah.
No, they're not going to do Marvel Rivals 2 for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Because you've still got so many characters. I mean, how many Marvel characters are there? There's like thousands, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because there's like different, you know, variants and all kinds of things. So, I mean, even if you just looked at X-Men or just looked at Avengers, there's like several characters from those. And it doesn't even include everybody. So, there we go. I'm going to dip back into the game at some point for that. I've just been, as I mentioned at the start, I've been playing a lot of other things as well. So, cool. Just one kind of final comment on that. If, let's say what you suggested is correct, and we don't know one way or the other if it is, but it's the only guess I could, well, not come up with because you came up with it. You should probably have told the other team that, maybe, because the way that guy read his statement out, which I did read it out on the podcast, he was like, hey, we've just been suddenly told this is happening. So if it was a case that you, let's say, overhired maybe to get the game out, but then didn't need the rest of the team, it sounds like you should have told the rest of the team, which it doesn't sound like they did. So I don't know.
See, I actually disagree with you on that, because I've seen too many people personally get told, hey, we're letting you go in 2 weeks. And they use that 2 weeks to intentionally sabotage stuff. That is a legitimate, serious concern corporations have to have. Because I actually had that happen to me a few months ago, because I went and got my oil changed. And then like a week later, I noticed that the skid plate on the underside of my car was hanging loose. So I take it back to the oil place. They pull up the sales order for the oil change, and lo and behold, the guy that changed my oil intentionally screwed it up because he got his 2 week notice. So that was not the first time somebody had come in with something like that happening.
Wow.
And if, when you're talking about a video game with that many billions on the line, it doesn't take much to mess those things up.
Mm.
Trust me, I've been working computers, various different levels, for the better part of 30 years. Mm. It is not hard to muck something up at
True.
All.
True. Yeah. But yeah, maybe we'll see a third follow-up part on this at some point. So we'll see. All right, that's all my news for this week. What have you got?
All right. Well, someday there may come a day to where Assassin's Creed Shadow isn't falling flat on its face.
Yeah.
That day is not today.
No.
So this came out a few days ago. Apparently, yeah, this came out February 24th. So apparently, physical copies of Assassin's Creed Shadows are popping up in various countries and on Facebook Marketplace. The most logical thing is that these copies were shipped to the stores when the game was supposed to come out mid-February, and mm-hmm. somebody just said, fuck it, I don't care no more, and just started selling them. And there's, you know, pictures of them from people that have bought them. They're going for, like, they're not going, like, crazy scalper numbers, because this is, again, Assassin's Creed Shadows. Nobody wants it that much. But there is a photo of a guy that managed to get, like, six copies, and it's literally him, and he's got the six copies, and they're fanned out like playing cards. So, and as far as I can tell, that's a legitimate thing, and it's an older build, too. So, you know, obviously they have to connect to the internet and update it, which will flag them mm-hmm. on Ubisoft's end. That's assuming Ubisoft has anybody there to care anymore, because there's no way anybody cares at that company anymore.
Mm.
But it's just, they've literally become the Sideshow Bob meme from The Simpsons of turn 12 degrees to a direction, take a step forward, the rake right to the face.
Yep. Yep.
Turn another direction, take a step forward, rake to the face.
Yeah, this studio just, and to their own fault, let's be very clear, just can't catch a break. But it's mm-hmm. no fault, but it's not anybody's fault but their own, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. They also, just while we're on the subject of Ubisoft, because we pretty much always are. Now, I'm not going to spoil Astrobot, because there's the new, I forgot to talk about Astrobot again. I need to make sure I do that in the future. Because they've been putting out more challenge levels and stuff, or time trial levels and that. There was a character very recently from a Ubisoft game. Again, I'm not going to spoil, because I consider that spoilers, because it's spoiling the surprise of who the new bot is. There was a bot from a Ubisoft game. Heck, Ubisoft themselves tweeted it and put it out on Facebook. So, you know, they've spoiled it more than what I possibly am going to. And they're like, hey, this new character, it was weird because they said this new character is playable in Astrobot, and everyone was like, you don't play as the bots, you play as Astrobot, and then you have these characters on the island. But it literally said, like, hey, our new bot from such and such has been added to Astrobot, and you can now play as this character. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? You can't play as the character. And it's not even one of the characters that, because you can get different skins where you can dress up as various different characters. There's only certain ones that you can play as, but that character wasn't one of them. So it wasn't even a case that you could select that character's outfit in Astrobot and play kind of as them, or dressed up as them, because that's not the case either. It's like, you don't even know what, like, you're talking about for this game, sort of thing. So that just kind of added to the Ubisoft pile of recent stuff. And it was interesting how they were, like, proudly talking about this character, considering what they are and are not doing with this character as well. And it was like, you guys just keep being, in different ways, you just keep being weird. But anyway, back to the Assassin's Creed stuff. I did watch, I watch his videos sometimes, a guy called Luke Stevens. Decent, nice guy and all that. I don't always agree with everything he says, but which is also fine. And he obviously, you know, does gaming videos and things like that. And he was talking about this leak for the game that had come out. Now, just to be clear, I personally myself have not seen any leaks for the game. I don't know any spoilers about anything from it. I've not seen any leaked gameplay or anything like that, and I've not really looked for it either. So, and he was talking about the Sega, because he was browsing photos that people had posted saying like, hey, I got the game early, and it was, yeah, the game in the case, like PlayStation cases and all that sort of thing. People saying they'd played it. And then, because one of the things he kind of said was, hey, let's kind of, before we jump to any kind of, hey, the game's leaked, confirmed, all that kind of thing, he went to watch a certain video. Now, he couldn't show what the video was or play the audio because he didn't want to get, obviously, himself in trouble. And he said, right, if this gameplay bit shows a certain something, I don't know what that certain something is, I assume something that he'd maybe read about, then he thinks it's been leaked. And he had this like gradual reaction of like, oh, I think it is this, oh no, it's definitely this. And then he like finished that part and was like, yeah, it's absolutely been leaked, kind of thing. Again, I don't know what he was looking at or what he was referencing. I don't know what kind of like things he's seen for the game, but because I kind of initially thought like, okay, why has this happened? But then, as you mentioned, the game was supposed to be out on February 14th, so there was probably some like date thing that got mixed up and or not updated, because the game's not even out in February. It got pushed all the way to March. Is it March 20th? It is, I think.
Yeah, March 20th.
Yeah, which is over a month later. But again, this goes beyond the problem of like, oh, one of our games accidentally got leaked. It's like, yeah, your whole company is really just not in a very good state at the moment, to put it lightly. Which is the same, because they have, you know, access to things like Rayman, Beyond Good and Evil. They got, obviously, Splinter Cell. They got things like Far Cry, the Rainbow Six whole saga thing, you know, all the Tom Clancy stuff. With Division and things like that. And obviously they've got Assassin's Creed. They've got, many other things as well. And it's just, with how inactive some of those series are, especially things like Rayman and Splinter Cell, it's just a shame to see. And again, that's honestly a studio you've got to go through, and all the executives, all the people in higher up positions, you just got to let them all go, all of them. Maybe not the developers. I don't know that this is a developer problem that they have at Ubisoft, because even if it's a case that you play, let's say, a new Ubisoft game and you think, okay, game's not great for whatever reason, it's on the developers, it isn't always on the developers, because even if the developers have got the best intentions for a game, they're still being told what to do by the people upstairs, the people above them, and that can really, really impact stuff. I'm not saying that they're, you know, completely scot-free on these games. Because if when Shadows comes out and if there's something wrong with it, again, it could be down to the developers, it could be down to the people upstairs. But you can't take that sort of thing off the table of like, oh, this whole thing is all on the developers. It's just, it doesn't really quite work that way. But yeah, so as a former Assassin's Creed fan, I'm not going to call myself an Assassin's Creed fan at the moment, because I haven't liked the franchise for over 5 years. I'm not going to say 10 years, that feels like a bit too long ago, but probably over 5 years. I think they've nearly destroyed this franchise, and I don't know what's going on with the story, what the hell the narrative is at the moment for Assassin's Creed. I'm gonna, just out of pure, again, sometimes as a gamer and as a content creator, or, you know, as a TV watcher and a content creator, sometimes you want to check things out just for pure curiosity. And who knows, with like I said recently with the Spider-Man show, I watched the trailer, I thought it was quite bad. Turns out the trailer didn't do very good to show the better parts of the show. I watched the first two episodes, I quite liked them, and it sort of pulled me in, and then I watched a few more episodes, and I just liked it more and more. So, you never know how much you might actually like something, I suppose. And that can be applied to Shadows as well. Yeah, what are your thoughts on the situation?
Well, for the actual game release leak, that's 100% on the retailers. That's their fault. Yeah. Everything else is the corporation as a whole. Because there's not one single department you can't point to that didn't do something stupid.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. But no, you need to just clean house. Because the house has had...
Oh, that company's getting crashed and sold off for parts in 6 to 9 months would be my guess.
Yeah.
Because this game, they got to release it because they got to release it, and they have nothing announced and nothing in the pipeline. So this game will come out. It'll be the sad, wet fart that it is, and then Ubisoft as a company is dead.
Yeah. And it's interesting, kind of, because I was just thinking about the whole Warner Brothers thing that we went through. And I said that, okay, one of the safety nets that you could have is if you announce Nemesis System, new Batman game, Rocksteady. Again, not a guarantee, but that's one of the things in like a PR speak that you go, hey, we're doing this, this, and this. And your audience goes, okay, that can't, it shouldn't fail, let's say. Not can't, but shouldn't fail. I don't know. I'm trying to think right, literally right now of, again, Warner Brothers, what game could they announce for a bit of a safety net and a bit of an easy, like, safe bet? Again, Nemesis System, Batman game, Rocksteady. I almost said Rockstar, Rocksteady. I don't know what that answer is for Ubisoft, or if they have that kind of thing. Yeah, so, and again, after, because I think I mentioned this before, and you've mentioned it just now. Because I remember there was like, maybe there was an announcement of Division 3 or something at some point, but it's like, okay, at the moment, apart from Beyond
Good and Evil 2. There was some weird Division game, but I think it got cancelled.
Maybe, yeah. But apart from Beyond Good and Evil 2, which, who knows what state that game is in, I don't know what their next, like, because you can't make a creative bet right now. You have to make a game that is an 80 to 90% guaranteed hit, and I have no idea what that is for Ubisoft. Far Cry 7 or something? I don't know. What do you think their like safe answer could be after Shadow?
Honestly, I don't think anything's safe anymore.
Yeah.
Cuz a lot of that depends on the writing. I mean, people thought that Dragon Age Veilguard was a safe bet until they got the writing. And that was god awful, and that game's an utter failure.
Was that by? I keep forgetting. Was that BioWare?
That is BioWare. Yes, it also hits
yeah.
PlayStation Plus free this month.
Yeah, which again, out of curiosity, I might download that and check that out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're already paying for the service, there's no harm in checking it out. But
yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, if anybody's got any suggestions, in the same way I've mentioned that hypothetical Batman game, what could be Ubisoft's answer? Let us know what you think, because they might have a franchise I've just totally forgotten about or something. I know one thing they could maybe do. It won't really be a safety net in the same way. Just announce you're doing a remaster of like the Rayman games or something. That would at least make people somewhat happy, but then I don't know that that's a safe bet. So, I don't know. All right, what else have you got this week to talk about?
Well, the Monster Hunter Wilds launched February 28th, and I literally in my entire life have never seen anything like this, because it is simultaneously the best and worst game launch almost in the history of games. So, on the best side, in the opening three-day weekend, they moved 8 million units across all platforms.
Nice.
Totaling over half a billion in revenue. On Steam, it went absolutely buck wild. Had an all-time peak of almost 1.4 million. I've got the Steam chart page up right now. Currently has 480,000 players active. And on the simultaneously worse, it is the worst optimized PC game to come out so far. And the reviews are just dragging this game. Right now it's sitting at a 53% with 110,000 reviews in. So this is not, you know, a dozen trolls review bombing it. This is, this is a big oof.
Right. Is it working
and,
on the consoles though?
I don't know about the consoles because I can't see those numbers in terms of reviews because they don't put them out.
Yeah.
But consoles all have the same hardware. So it'll either work or it won't, unless there's like a manufacturing defect with the disc if you bought a physical copy, or a download error if you bought the digital copy. But the reviews are absolutely hilarious in their savagery. I think my favorite one says, my air fryer is better optimized for this game.
I'd hope so, yeah. If the game is badly optimized, then yeah, I'd hope that your air fryer is doing better than that.
Yeah, and to give you a scale of how badly this game is optimized on PC, one of the YouTube content creators that I follow, he does super hardcore, in-depth, technical end on, on PC breakdown reviews.
All right.
So he has on his build a AMD Radeon RX 7900 XT graphics card, depending on how you buy it and where you buy it, is a $700 to $900 card. He also has a Ryzen 7 7700X computer processing core, which is about a $500 processor. So with my knowledge of PC builds, speccing just those two out with the rest of the parts that you would need to have an optimized build, you're talking to a $2,000 to $3,000 build. Very, not like crazy expensive, but definitely upper middle tier in terms of PC builds. He is running this thing on high graphics, not even like ultra, but high. Sorry, my puberty quit on me there for a second. So he's running high multiplayer, and his CPU is averaging 77%, I'm sorry, 87% usage. The CPU temperature core is reading 83 degrees Celsius, and he's getting 70 frames a second. That is abysmal. I mean, just the temperature thing alone, that is terrifyingly high. It's like, I did a check right before we started. I had my computer running for about 3 hours, and I checked my computer's temperature core, and it was at 60 degrees Celsius, which I'm in a kind of a warmish room, and it's winter, so I got the heater running, so I don't have any like cold air circulating in. Yeah. So that's going to be a normal temp. This is 23 degrees Celsius higher just trying to run this game with the computer running at 90% capacity. That is insane in terms of that, you know, that's going to cook. That's going to set computers on fire. And computers do catch on fire. I've seen that several times with like shorts and graphics cards and processors running too hot and the fans not keeping up. They will literally catch on fire because it's, you know, 85 C temperature around plastic.
In terms of stuff I've seen for the game, I know that Access streamed it twice. I don't know why they streamed it twice, not just once. I'm not sure. I haven't actually checked out those videos yet. I do remember checking out one of the Monster Hunter games. I think it was one of the PS4 ones, and I thought the idea was cool. I thought it was like a fairly kind of decently interesting game. It just kind of never like clicked with me and sort of pulled me in. But it's one I'm kind of maybe curious to check out at some point in the future. So we'll see on that front. How about you? Any Monster Hunter history?
I played it a little bit when I had Game Pass. It fell into the same category of Witcher. I just couldn't get the controls and the game mechanics to work in my brain. Absolutely nothing against the game. It ran fine. It looked fine. I just couldn't figure out how to play it on a mechanical level.
That's fair enough. Cool. Anything else you want to talk about here?
About this game, no, but I do have something else to talk about.
All right. Go ahead.
So, as I mentioned a few weeks ago with the CES coverage, that the RTX 5000 series was getting ready to launch, that has launched. And that also fell on its face. Not as hard, but it did fall on its face. So on the card, there's these physical components called ROPs. An ROP is a render output unit, also known as a raster operation pipeline, which are components on the card, and they are the final processing stage of the graphics on the card before they get sent to the monitor. And the 7090 series, I'm sorry, the 5070 series and the 5090 series are missing these ROPs. And weirdly, they're both missing the same number. The 5090 is supposed to have 176. It has 168. The 5070 is supposed to have 96, and it has 88. So they're both missing 8 ROPs on this card, which is a manufacturing issue. It's not a huge percentage. It's like 1 in 200. But that's definitely enough that should have been caught in QA, because it's literally a piece of software you can run that tells you how many it sees. And they're just, again, this is a physical component, so it's not something you can cover up or fix or work around with drivers. You literally will have to have the card sent back and get a new card, and whether or not they actually let you do that for warranty issues or whatnot is really dependent on the seller. So this it could become a huge issue in terms of, you know, we were promised something, we didn't get it.
Yeah, sounds like a little recall is, if that's the right word, recall is needed then. Because if it's a case that this thing doesn't have enough physical, let's call them bits and bobs on them, yeah, that's something you can't really fix with software updates. So
yeah, this is the only equivalent I could figure out is that imagine if like you're really into cars and you're a car guy and you buy a V12 car and you open up the bonnet and it's only got 9 of the 12 valves there. And this is causing a performance hit with the cards.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, we'll see how they deal with that, I suppose.
Yep.
Cool, was that all of your news?
That's all I got today.
All right, let's move on to two bits of feedback. Of course, if you'd like to write into the show, let us know your thoughts on anything we've said, anything we haven't said, or anything that you would like to say. You're all welcome to write in. You can do that by writing in to Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, or Entertainment Talk. You'll know if you find us because you'll see the same sorts of posts. And there's also information in your show notes. So Josh writes in first, says, I've seen a lot of comments saying this is the worst generation for gaming. Do you agree? I can only compare it to the PS3 360 generation with the Red Ring, the PS3's price, and the Sony hack of 2011. Dark times indeed. See, I was there, obviously, in 2011 when that happened, but I was in Xbox's ecosystem and literally didn't have... Yeah, wouldn't have had like a Sony or a PSN or an anything account, so I was not involved in that. So I did have a Red Ring, I think it was once. It happened twice. One of them was once so bad that I needed to send it back. And one of them, I can't remember how it did, talking over 10 years ago, I think it kind of fixed itself or something like that. It wasn't as bad for, I don't know, some reason. So there was that as well. And again, do you want to talk PS3's price? Does that mean the PS5 Pro is worth $700? I won't reiterate all those points. Just go and listen to the podcast called the PS3 versus the... PS3 versus PS5 Pro, because I still think I have a legitimate argument there. I think the PS3 is worth more money, or at least was worth it at the time of both consoles' launches. There's something very specific there. So that was quite a fun one to sort of dig into and actually get into those talking points. So I think the thing a lot of people kind of look at, say, the PS1 and the PS2 as well. Sort of the PS1 to 3 is a bit of a golden generation, certainly in terms of if you look at the gaming IP that launched. And when people talk about kind of like the best, like, individual gaming years, so like the games of the year that year, or the best games that came out. People do look at 2007 quite a lot. I can't remember all the big games from that year, but I think you had like a Halo game, there was COD 4, Modern Warfare, there was like Assassin's Creed. I think there was maybe a Gears of War or something like that. I don't know the exact list that people always reference in front of me, but it was a damn good year for gaming. And yeah, if you do look from like the PS1 to PS3 era, which includes 360, there was a lot of really, really, really strong IP that launched during that time. I'm not going to sit here and name all of them because there's a dozen of them. And we haven't had as many sort of, and I'm talking like big pop culture IP stuff that has stuck around for, yeah, well, 30 years, I suppose, kicking off with the PS3. But I mean, it's comparable to what's happening now, but in a different way, because we have the industry has totally different problems now. I do certainly think more on Sony's part than Microsoft's, the whole dig into the live, not live action, live service stuff. And we sat here and we talked about those 17 projects and how essentially owning one of them, one of them has launched successfully. Not all of those games have launched, but some of them fell completely flat on their face. And I think that was a massive, massive mistake for Sony to make. And it is a shame that, if we again stick with Sony here, that they kind of looked away from what was working and decided to do something else for some reason, because they wanted to chase the trend. And as we've seen in the industry, if you do chase trending and you don't do it correctly, can fall on your face. If you remember, like almost every week we had like a new Battle Royale game announced when we were in the sort of PUBG versus Fortnite era, and then COD came out with theirs, and then Apex Legends came out with theirs, and then Battlefield came out with theirs, and everybody was just doing it, and it just completely dilutes that market of games. And you're only going to get two or three, if you're lucky, that are going to come out on top, and clearly Fortnite came out on top of all of that pile, certainly money-wise at least. Crikey, the numbers I've heard for that game are outrageous. And again, Fortnite's not everybody's cup of tea, but you can't criticize that game financially, because my goodness, that game has done well. But yeah, so I just think it's a case that we've had some very, very great games in this, if you call it Series X, PS5 generation, but So, like, for manufacturer sort of hardware and stuff, okay, you could look at the PS3 360 generation as maybe the worst, because you did have, like, the cell processor, the $600 PlayStation, and the red ring thing with the Xbox, and was it the, I'm just remembering now, wasn't it, like, the yellow light of death or something on the PS3?
Red, you had
like,
red ring of death.
No, on the
360.
On the PS3, there was, like, the yellow... I think it was with the power button, you pressed it, and instead of it going red to green, it would go yellow or something. But no, there was the red ring on the 360 as well. So we seem to have kind of moved past those problems. The only thing the PS4 and 5 have had in common is like, hey, if you unplug it and it's on standby, it will moan at you, because it will beep very aggressively when you turn it back on. Whereas the Xbox is like, hey, no worries, man. We'll just switch back on. So I do kind of find that funny. I think even with the Xbox, it still keeps your quick resume games suspended, even if you completely unplug the console. It's just like, hey, cool, you're back. All right, your games are here. Let's carry on. So I do think that's actually quite an underrated feature, the whole quick resume. I've used it a couple of times when I was jumping between... like Lies of P and FIFA or something, for example, and it would just pick straight back up where it was. So it's actually very good. You've used it a couple of times, right? The quick resume thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very good. So be great if I could use that with PlayStation, but you can't, because they came up with the alternative of cards, which nobody uses anymore. So yeah. Anyway, I said a lot of stuff there. What do you think of this generation, I guess, compared to some of the other ones?
Well, I certainly wouldn't call it the worst. I definitely would say that in terms of like the big name megacorp AAA game studios, it's been unbelievably underwhelming.
Yeah.
But there's always, you know, the gems that come out of it. Your Helldivers 2, your Space Marine 2, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, games like that. There's always going to be a few games But really, this generation has been the era of the AA indie games, because there's been so many games that have come out that have just been like absolute legends in terms of sales and whatnot, like Valheim that we talked about that launched a few years ago, opened up to 6 million units sold on a game that had nothing. Manor Lords, literally one dude, and that I think that sold 2 million units. And you've just got game after game that's in the smaller state with the smaller space and the smaller budget absolutely crushing it on PC games. Obviously, that's not a console game. But then you got your remake ports, like all the Final Fantasies 1 through 6 got remastered and released. Those did fairly well sales-wise. You got Dragon Warrior 3 that's out, with 1 and 2 coming out here soon. Those games are probably going to sell pretty well. So yeah, in terms of like the big super budget blockbusters, absolutely underwhelming. The indie titles kicking ass, taking names.
It's been an interesting generation for like remakes and remasters as well. I know we've had a bunch of those, but most of those, at least from what I remember, have turned out very good. Obviously, one of my particular highlights was Dead Space being remade / remastered, because even though I would have eventually tried that probably on Xbox through backwards compatibility, and that was such a great experience I had with that game, because for years and years and years and years I'd heard, oh, it's like one of the best horror games, it's this, it's that, and it was never that I didn't want to play it, it was just I never sort of was in those circles or whatever, and then played this like refreshed remake version, and I thought that game's incredible. If it hadn't been remade, I might not have had like exactly the same experience or something. So that was amazing as well. What do you think has been the worst generation, if you were to maybe point towards one?
See, that would have to be for like individual consoles. Like for an individual console, the Wii U would be the worst generation for that console.
For like Nintendo's history, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, for PlayStation would definitely... I don't want to say the PS3, because in terms of like units sold, it actually did eventually outsell the 360. But it had such a rough start. Microsoft, the first generation OG Xbox wasn't bad, but it was so bulky and heavy that definitely... hindered some of its sales. But again, going back to the remakes, 4 hours ago, they just dropped a...
I think you're about to mention Tony Hawk. So,
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 remaster. That trailer just got revealed about 4 hours ago.
Yeah, that's cool. That's nice. It's interesting that that's actually happened, considering they said it had been scrapped or something, so... Yeah, the only reason I didn't.
Well, as long as it didn't get deleted, then yeah, you know, you can continue it.
Can you imagine if, like, for that Wii U era, let's say you were just a pure Nintendo person, like you weren't interested in Xbox or PC or PlayStation, if you were doing like a weekly Nintendo podcast for the Wii U? Because I remember a bit of a random person to bring up. I remember Brian Altano, who I think still works at IGN. He used to be on their Nintendo Chat podcast week after week in the era, and he said it was like one of his worst, not for any other reason, he said it was like one of his worst podcasting experiences or something. And yeah, if you're in an era like that that's really dire and it's just negativity and or emptiness week to week, like, yeah, so I almost forgot that console existed until we just mentioned it, so yeah. There we go. All right, Beth writes in and says, do you have any idea / preference on how The Last of Us should end, with Neil saying there could be one more chapter to the story? Well, first of all, it's not my story to tell, and I don't have the brain of Neil Druckmann, because we are different individual people. There's been, I don't want to kind of talk about it in case people think it's kind of spoilery, which it sort of is. There's always been a theory that let's say they might revisit what happened at the end of the first one and kind of go back there. I don't know if it'll be a terrible idea, but I don't know. I'm not sure on that one. It would depend on if you take the idea and translate it to Naughty Dog's ability and what Neil would do with that idea, because what Neil could do with that idea might be better or more interesting than what fans could come up with, hypothetically. He might like tweak certain bits or whatever. It does make sense that three would be, even though it's been obviously very successful, because you wouldn't have made a TV adaptation with like Craig Mazin and HBO attached if it wasn't successful. I do see the third one as probably being the last one. I don't see this as a franchise that's going to have like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 entries and just do one after the other. And it would make sense to, I guess, conclude it as a trilogy. Maybe some other DLC stuff, but to do three kind of main games. I don't really have like a personal preference on how I would want the story to end. Because it feels like kind of one of them things that, like, I could see an easy way that you could continue from two, but I don't know what that looks like at the other end of three. But then when you finish Last of Us 1, it doesn't really give you an indication as to where two could end. It gives you an indication of what two could look like. Yeah, so overall, I'm not really sure what that looks like, but I think that's also fine. So, but yeah, it's been interesting as well seeing people kind of work out, okay, if we're getting season two this year, then season three in 2 more years, and then season four in 2 years after that, and Intergalactic is maybe 2027, maybe. When would three come out, and would that come out before season four ends? Because they don't want to go past where the game is, which makes sense. I don't know how all that lines up. I really don't know. Yeah, but God, so if you're Neil Druckmann and he's not the showrunner on Last of Us, that's Craig Mazin. You're working very closely with him on another 3 seasons, then directing another game, and then even begin doing the brainstorming on Last of Us 3 and the ending and the amount of eyes that would be on that. That's a very, very busy guy. So, because then you've also got to, like, okay, launch a new IP, make sure that doesn't fall flat on its face. Not because it's, Naughty Dog, it's just that not every new IP is guaranteed because they're unknown quantities. But yeah, launch a new IP, work on a second, third, and fourth season of a HBO show, and then launch a final chapter of a critically acclaimed game which has got people poring over every little detail of it. He might have a bit of pressure on him, I guess. So, any thoughts on any of that?
No, I'm not into the game lore enough to really even answer. I finished the first one for a story one. I've never played the second one, so.
What do you think of, like, I guess, Neil Druckmann's situation with all of that going on?
That's a headache I'm glad I don't have.
So, launching Naughty Dog's new IP and working on 3 seasons, and obviously because you're adapting as well, it's not like you just are going to copy and paste the thing, and then there's like other bits to put in. So, here's the next 5 to 10 years are very, very busy. So, we'll see. Anyway, that's what we've got for you this week for Gaming Talk. Thank you very much for listening. You can, of course, find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. You can find us on podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk as well. There's the categories list, which I'm wondering if I should put that as a pinned post on the site, just so that people see it a bit easier, because it is a very useful guide. It's obviously the categories list, where you can click on it and find all different categories of all different things that we've done. So if you want a bit of a guide for that, that's where you can find that as well. So it wouldn't be very hard. I just click on the post, click on pin as a sticky post, I think it's called, and then it will be at the top of the page on the front. So I might do that at some point. Anyway, word of mouth, social media, all that kind of stuff. If you want to support what we do, listen to more things, check us out on podcast platforms, categories list, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast with the options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio is out. You can go from here to there if you'd like to do that and get your go from your gaming news to your TV and your film news for this week. That is already out. So go and check that out on geektime.co.uk and Geektime Radio. We've got a Twitch channel, which we don't really use, but you can also find us more regularly on YouTube, which is Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks for listening. Thanks very much for listening. And we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.